Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3 and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT with Oklahoma Clay sitting in today with me instead of Reynolds, as usual. For some of you now, you must know that we've moved the shows over to a couple of new stations here, KXGT and KUFO, and we're expanding into Seattle, so that'll bring us up to about 12 markets. This week on the Nation, I am very privileged, actually, to welcome Myron Mixon, the winningest man in barbecue. I'm going to let Myron describe himself a little bit in a couple minutes here, but Myron has won more than a couple hundred grand championships, 30 state championships, 11 national championships, and has been crowned the grand champion in Memphis in May's World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest 3 times. Myron, welcome to the show.
How y'all doing?
We're doing great up here. Finally got out of the snow, and life's good.
I'll tell you what, I'm down here at home right now in Georgia. 70 degrees outside.
I don't want to hear that crap, Myron. So give us a little background. I mean, if anybody watches Pit Masters or any of the cooking shows, the barbecue shows, they're probably familiar with you. But this, you know, we're kind of about 2,500 miles away from you, so we're not in your normal stomping grounds there. Give us a little background on, first of all, how did you get into barbecue? I read that you used to cook with your dad and stuff when you were little.
Right. I started cooking with my dad when I was 9 years old. He had a barbecue takeout business. And I guess you could say, he secured mine and my brother's health. And it wasn't voluntary. He made us do it.
Sure.
I think as kids, we were like free labor. So he put us out there helping with his barbecue, and that incurred being the wood splitter, going with him to get the wood, tote the wood, because we burn down coals and shovel coals to do barbecue. We didn't have the rotisseries and the gas assist and all these things we have today, the pellet cookers. We did it old school. That's the way I learned.
Sure.
And, begrudgingly maybe, but I did learn. And as I got older, it was something I took pride in, you know, learning from him. And in 1996, I started competing. And then that's when I started competing with what I use today, the water cookers. And it was like a walk in the park compared to what I had been doing before. I said, you know, this is pretty damn easy. You know, I even got a gauge. We never had gauges when at my dad's pits. They were, like I said, masonry pits, had 10 over the top of them.
Yep.
Way he told the temperature of the pits, if you could do a 10 count by laying your hand on top of the metal, then it was time to fire it back up. And I had a gauge. So I said, this is going to be easy. And, you know, I was blessed, had a lot of success doing that. And that led to having my own sauce and rub lines. And then it led to cookbooks and TV shows. And I have my own smoker line also, Myron Smoker. Now we have 2 restaurants. We got 1 in Chicago and 1 in D.C.
Well, you're a busy man.
Staying busy. Staying on airplanes a lot now.
Yeah, I know that drill. Believe me, I know that. When you first started competing, how did you adapt to that? Meaning, you know, people come, and I'll preface this for you. Like you, I learned to cook when I was younger and kept cooking all through my life. Even while I was doing other occupations, I kept cooking. But when you step into the competition ring, that's a little different. So how did you adapt to getting in there to compete with other people? I mean, if you'd never done it before.
Well, I mean, being here in Georgia, there's a lot of, especially the Memphis May contest, sanctioned contest in Georgia. So especially in the Southeast, all over. And we had a, we still do since 1982. There's a big event right here south of my hometown in Vienna, Georgia, just in the same county where I live now that I lived all my life, 140 teams. And I've always had gone out there and watched and saw what they were doing. But with that being said, my dad didn't look at it as a moneymaker. He looked at it as, you know, that's just wasting your time. Get back up here and let's fire our pits up and sell our barbecue like we're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
But I still went out there, you know, and watched. And I always thought I could do that. And, you know, I think what made it different for me than anybody else, especially 1996 when I started competing, was I looked at it as a job. I mean, I looked at it as getting out there, cooking to win for the prize money, and cooking to win to help promote our sauce and rub business. And where everybody else, and even to a degree now, I was probably not, I would think I was probably the only one that did it full-time for, like, being a job.
Yeah.
Everybody else might do something else during the week for your regular day job. Then a group of guys or girls that get together on weekends and they go do barbecue contests. Well, my dad passed away in January of 96. I started competing in June of 96, and that's pretty much what I did for the next 10 straight years. I was, you know, when I wasn't competing, I was getting ready to go the next time. I used to do, I've done 40 weekends in a row.
Mm-hmm.
All over the Southeast, especially the Southeast. And you'd have to go get your wood, split your wood, clean your trailers, you know, get your meat, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there's no incentive to do good in competitions and win prize money as being able to make your house payment or make your truck payment or anything like that. So that really pushes you to be the best you possibly can at what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. I came out of the horse world, competed in the horse world for a long, long time. And, you know, when you're kind of rolling in there on your last tank of gas and you got to win, it is an incentive, I can tell you that.
You're right. I mean, I tell people all the time, but I have them, you know, I don't know why, but they say, man, I want to do what you've done. I said, be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you worried about being able to pay your light bill. I don't know if you really want to go through all that. But it paid off for me. I mean, and you know, those type work conditions makes you, you know, it either makes you a better person or a stronger person or it buries you. And but I love what I was doing, too. And that was the whole key to it. I love what I was doing. Perfecting my craft, and I call barbecuing a craft. And learning more about it. And I still learn. You know, there's, you're always striving to turn out that perfect piece of barbecue. And even today, I think every competitor, anybody in the restaurant or food business that's doing barbecue, you know, you want to make money, you want to win the prize money, all those things, but you're still looking for that attaboy. You love to be able to, especially around the your pool or in your backyard, that neighbor that comes over and eats says, this is the best piece of barbecue I've ever eaten in my life. And that's what you strive for anyway.
Yeah, I think the adulation sometimes is worth more than the trophies and the checks. When they tell you, yeah, you did a good job, I really like it. It's the best, you know. I think those things are important to people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's what pushes you. I mean, that's what pushes the... pushes you to come up with new combinations of the flavors. And, you know, at the end of the day now, barbecue's been gotten so mainstream that, and with all the technology and stuff, you can turn out some moist, tender, juicy barbecue. Everybody can get that part of it done. And then it just gets down to being a flavor contest.
Sure.
And or, I mean, that's what it gets down to being. And that will be combinations of the smoke you choose for all the selection of wood to the selection of spices to the finishing sauces you'll use at the very end. And so it's just always a challenge to come up with that combination that might win you a trophy or get customers in your restaurant or get you the accolades that makes you the king or queen of the cul-de-sac.
I like that, king or queen of the cul-de-sac. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to be back with Myron Mixon, the winningest man in barbecue. I was telling Clay here before we went on the air with you, said it's kind of like James Brown, you know, the hardest working man in show business, he always said. So that's you, Myron, in the barbecue biz. We'll be back with Barbecue Nation and Myron Mixon right after this.
Town to town to hide my shame, but I made me a vow to the moon and stars I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Love is a burning thing.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Oklahoma Clay today. We thought we'd have a little Johnny Cash music for Myron. I've never met Myron, so I don't know what kind of music he likes, but Ring of Fire I couldn't pass up because that's kind of like when you back up and put your ass against a hot barbecue. You know, that is a Ring of Fire right there. Myron and I were talking about reality TV shows off the air here. I've had some experience with that, and I'm going to let Myron just give you his observations about reality TV because he's the executive producer of a couple of shows and has been on a ton of shows.
Well, I've been doing TV like 10 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, my idea about it is it's just about anything but reality. I mean, I guess really they couldn't turn us all loose unless really be ourselves totally. Got to have some guidelines. I guess that's where scripted comes in. I was telling you a while ago when we were off there, you know, you got all these reality shows out. It's on prime time, like Survivor.
Right.
And different shows like that. My idea of a Survivor show would be drop two guys, two gals, or whoever off in a separate part of the woods there on an island, give them all a big stick. Whoever walks out to the bank at the end of the show, that'd be the winner. That'd be the one that survived.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's never like that. I mean, there's always, you know, you read about it after it leaks out. They've always had McDonald's hamburgers there for them to snitch around and get and all that kind of stuff because in reality, they're not going to let anybody get injured. But, you know, getting back to a lot of the food shows, the food reality shows, you know, they're scripted to some degree. And I understand why they think they probably should be. You want to make good, interesting TV. You want to. You know, you want to, if it's a competition type show, you want to have them going at each other and you know, saying ugly things to each other because that makes good TV instead of letting it just happen itself because everybody wants great ratings. It seems to be now that all of TV is looking for something that's either bizarre or, you know, you got people on there raising sand or, you know, every other word they're showing out. So, but that's where we are on TV today.
No, I understand because I'm still doing it, but I just thought it was real interesting because the way I looked at it, and I read one of your pieces where one of the judges one time when you were first starting said something about your sauces, and I'll tell you a story that kind of is an analogy to that. Well, the show I did, there was a fella from down in Katy, Texas. Jimmy was his name, and he's got, I'm not going to say a whole lot of names here, but he's got a chicken fried steak restaurant down there in Katy. I've worked in Katy before. I've eaten at his restaurant. It was dang good. one of the judges, though, didn't like this guy. I don't know why. It was, you know, away from the show, the whole thing. So, you know, when you'd walk up to the judges and they're going to give you their critique and all this stuff, and Jimmy was standing there, and long story short, one of the judges, little slick-haired fella, kind of scrawny, Jimmy could have picked him up and chucked him out the window. And he says, this isn't no chicken fried steak. This, my mama made chicken fried steak. He goes off on this whole thing, and you can just see the smoke coming out of Jimmy's ears. Well, long story short, they put three of us in this one round of competition just because they needed warm bodies. And then we all got chucked. So anyway, there you go. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, whatever the hell.
Well, the thing about it is, especially in barbecue competition or any food competition, it's subjective. And you know, Memphis and May competitions, they have on-site judging. And like the Kansas City Barbecue Society, which is all blind. And, you know, I know for a fact, and I'm not the only one. There's other teams, I'm sure, have too. that you might have had the best barbecue that day, but when they're looking at you, they know who you are for whatever reason. If they don't like you because they don't like the car you drive, you're not going to win that day if you had the best chicken fried steak.
Right.
They're not going to give it to you because they cannot separate personal feelings with the food they're eating. And that's one thing I strive to do because, I'll be honest, I've done it for 10 years. I've given the top marks to people I didn't really like, and I knew they didn't like me.
Sure.
But it was all about who had the best food.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that would be the norm, but I think the way I looked at it was kind of the exception, not saying that all food judges are that way. But food judges can get on tangents, just like the one you just described there about his mama's whatever. And I got judges before that said, I've never found the perfect piece of barbecue since this big guy said, I got trained attack dogs here in my house that loves to attack the UPS guy.
Oh, there you go.
But they'll say, I haven't had the perfect piece of barbecue since I was a small child, and this guy will be 70 years old when his granddaddy cooked it. And I'm like, really? You really believe that I believe that you can taste and remember the taste you had when you was 4 years old from your granddad's barbecue? That's a bunch of bull.
Yep. Yep, it is. But
so it's not reality.
No, it's not. But it was interesting. Like I said, I've worked in all sorts of media, and this isn't about me, but just to see how that dynamic, because I knew none of these people. They just brought me in as kind of a ringer. And I knew none of these people, but to see that kind of stuff, and I went, wow, okay. Anyway, let's get back to Myron's Barbecue here. I looked at your website about your different grills and stuff, and I love the fact that you have all kinds of different grills on there. If you were going to, what's your preference? I mean, you started out with stick wood, and you did that, but what's your preference now?
For me, I mean, I'm still a stick burner. I like the water cookers that we build. That's what I started with. That's what I do now. And still, even though I can cook on the others we build, but those are the cookers that I love to do. I love the water. I love the fact of being able to use the whole sticks of wood, getting the smoke I want. I can regulate it. It's just what I'm used to. And that's what I tell everybody to buy.
Sure.
But, you know, get into the gravity feed charcoal cookers like we build, the pellet cookers that we build, too. They're very easy. They can make great barbecue for a lot of people that maybe are just now getting started, or even those that's been in a long time and want something easier.
There you go. You know,
the gravities, you can set them, fill them up with charcoal, go to work, come back from work in 8 hours, and you got barbecue.
There you go. Myron, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk more with Myron Mixon right after this. This is fun. I'm having fun with Myron. We'll be back.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Won't be turned around, and I'll keep this.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network, KXGT in Portland, and KUFO here and all our other affiliates. We have got Myron Mixon with us today. You have to know who he is if you're into barbecue at all. I mean, that's just the fact. But I wanted to ask you, Myron, we were talking about wood, and you still do stick wood and stuff. And, of course, we're big on pellet grills up here in the Northwest because a lot of them came, you know, Traegers and stuff came out from up here originally. But when you go to your stick wood, are you using, like, pecan and oak from down where you live, or what are you using?
Sure. I mean, matter of fact, here at my compound where I teach my cook schools, I've got like 7 acres of over 100-year-old pecan trees,
okay.
And they're producing trees. I mean, we get like average of anywhere from 200 to 400 pounds of nuts per tree, depending on how your weather works out that year.
Sure.
But we have limbs because it's so huge and they're big that fall, and we cut them up and we season them just like we do on the hickory and the oak that we're using. And so I burned that along with peach wood, which right here local too from Georgia.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'm using all those varieties of woods. The big thing about hardwoods is getting the right seasoning to it. It's not cooking it when it's too green or using it when it's too green and also burning a clean fire. You always want to make sure, especially with stick burners, you burn a clean fire. You don't want that barbecue to taste sooty. You don't want to have a harsh smoke flavor to it. You know, a lot of times when we want to be a little lazy, especially with the stick burners, you'll put enough. If you want to cook at 275, you'll put enough wood in there to get it to 375, and you'll shut all the dampers down to kick it back to 275 so you don't have to refire it as often.
Sure.
And, you know, that's a little bit lazy, but the thing is you wind up not having the best barbecue you can have. I mean, you're going to wind up with a sooty fire. You're choking it down. So in my class, I teach them, put the amount of fuel it takes, in other words, the sticks of wood it takes to get it to that temperature you want. And if it's at 275, put enough sticks of wood in there to get it to 275. I know you're going to have to bend over more. I know you're going to have to reach over and grab another stick of wood more often. But, you know, you're out there to turn out the best barbecue you possibly can. So, you know, get up off your butt and do the work.
Are you pulling the bark off your pecans, wood, and oak and stuff, or are you leaving that on down there?
I leave it on. But the thing about it is, too, now, and I've seen a lot of different there's different varieties of hickory. Some hickory's got a lot more bark.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen from other areas. I don't know what the varieties were, but it was hickory, but it was and it had some thick bark on it. And if I had something like that, I probably would. The hickory we're using down here is very thin bark, and the oak. Pecan wood doesn't have a lot of bark. It's very thick. But I leave all that on. I tell people a lot of times, especially judges, they'll come out of judge, man, we had an entry today that just tasted like lighter fluid. They must have not burned the charcoal off, blah, blah, blah. More than likely, everybody knows if you're using any type of charcoal or lighter fluid, you let it burn and burn it off and get it white before you start using it. More likely what they had is some a variety of hickory that was green.
Mm-hmm.
They put in that because green hickory cooked will taste like lighter fluid. It's got a kerosene taste to it.
Hmm. Do you air dry it or do you have a special way? I mean, I talked to one guy a few months ago. He was from Iowa or Indiana. And he would go up to Wisconsin and get his wood, and he'd come back and he'd actually dry it in his oven at night when his wife was asleep. So.
No, I mean I got any time on my compound out here right now. We're getting ready for a cook school, and I got probably 30 cords of wood, cords, not pickup loads, but
sure.
Cords.
Yeah,
and the different varieties, we got them labeled with the. They were put up under the covers off the ground. We got racks built that keep them off the ground.
Yeah.
And I got covers that cover it because that's what you got to do. You know, I tell people, it ain't getting out and cutting up a bunch of wood and stacking around your tree outside and think you're seasoning your wood. You got to keep it dry. You got to keep it out of the elements. You know, I even go to the extent that I don't put it on the wood, but I'll put ant repellent around the base of the rack.
Because yeah.
I don't want to have bugs and stuff getting up in my wood.
Right. That's a good idea. Now, so Myron, we talked about this. You think you're ready to play the lightning round with us here?
Sure.
Okay. Myron Mixon, this is your shot at the world-famous lightning round here on Barbecue Nation. Here we go. Myron, from all your years of effort now, what is the most basic thing you've learned about barbecue?
Cook it till it's done.
Attaboy. What's the hardest part about competing?
Hardest part about competing is losing.
Losing, I like that. How long did it take you not to learn not to peek like under the lid or open the top and just let the thing cook?
It didn't take me very long because my dad was standing there and he was a pretty firm believer in discipline, like with his belt. So yeah, my brother and I, we learned quick not to be picking the lid up.
Yeah, I remember those days too. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Barbecue skills that took me the longest to master will probably be, and this might seem odd, was slicing brisket. and getting the right thickness and being able to slice it straight down and have the same consistency. That took me the longest to figure out, and I don't know why. I mean, it really did.
Well, I think, not to get off on the weeds here, but I think, you know, a lot of people can cook. They learn to cook, and they're doing pretty good at that. But if you don't have much experience actually cutting meat, which I know you do, but I'm just saying, I run into that with people because they get there and they cut off great big hunks and hand it to you, and it's like, I don't want that.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, I'm raised in South Georgia, and barbecue down here, and to the extent still is, when you said barbecue, you're talking about pork.
Yeah.
So it was probably 12 years ago before I ever even cooked my first brisket.
Oh.
Because beef is not king down here. I mean, it's all about the pork.
Right, right. Okay, back to the lightning round. What is the best day for Myron contained for as far as activities?
The best day is me sitting in my recliner while my guys are out there doing whatever they're doing on the compound. I've got a double crown on the rocks in my right hand, my remote in my left hand, and I am watching the Western Channel.
Yeah, I like this guy. I like him a lot. Okay, fill in the blanks on this one. Liquid smoke should be used for?
Liquid smoke should be used for getting up stains off of your floor or something else. It's not made for barbecue.
I love that. If we declared Myron Mixon supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
What would I decree? That all propane gas would be banned for life.
Okay. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill?
Dumbest thing I've ever seen done with a grill?
Yep.
Was used as a planter.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, a perfectly good smoker. It wasn't about, I mean, it wasn't rusted out or anything. It was almost like brand new and used it as a damn planter. I couldn't believe it.
Maybe they gave up. Who knows? Who knows? Where was the worst place you ever had to cook?
Worst place I ever had to cook would have probably been Dover, Delaware, on one of our episodes of Pitmasters, where we were at the Dover Downs in the infield, and the rain was blowing sideways.
Oh, geez.
I mean, literally blowing sideways. If people saw that episode, that was harsh conditions.
What's the biggest mistake, Myron, you ever made during a competition when you were competing?
Biggest mistake I've ever made when I was competing.
Right.
Was guy, and well, I tell you what, one of the ones has been right recently in Washington, D.C., the barbecue battle. In 2016, they give you different timelines. You got 2 days of cooking. You got different timelines. You like cook both pork categories on 1 day. So KCBS event, you do the ribs and you do the pork butts. And then 1 day you do the chicken and you do the brisket. But they always have the turn-ins coming off like at 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They're not the regular times. And I got my timelines wrong on my chicken, and I got it cooked about 3 hours ahead of time.
Uh-oh. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and finish up Barbecue Nation with Myron. We're learning a lot here. You learning anything, Clay? Okay. We'll be back with Myron Mixon right after this.
I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life.
It's Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
That one's for Myron there, Johnny Cash and Ghost Riders here on Barbecue Nation. He's in his recliner with his crown and his... remote on the Western Channel. There you go. If you've missed the show today, of course, you can listen to it on the cloud, and it'll be up there in a couple hours after the show airs. And we actually have people all over the world listen to this show, Myron, just FYI for you.
That's good.
Yeah, it's made some headway here. One other thing I wanted to ask you, because we've only got a couple, 3 minutes left here, but one last question that we usually ask our people in the lightning round. Did you ever cook in the snow in your underwear? That's what they want to know.
Really? No, I've never cooked in the snow in my underwear. I cook in my underwear a lot here at home.
Well, there you go. That's close enough.
Well, the thing is, I'm mayor here in my town in Unadilla. I got elected, took office January 2016, and before and since, I get on my golf cart with my Crocs, my box of shorts, my Bulldog, and ride down to the post office, go through the drive-thru here at the local bank, because the little town I live in is 1,400 people, and they just expect that for their commander-in-chief is to ride around in his underwear and his Crocs.
There you go. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. You've written 5 books now?
Written 3. We just came out this past April with our third book, Barbecue Rules.
Okay. And we're going to put all the links to your website, your smoker website, your Jack South website, all that stuff. We're going to put those all on our Facebook, and we're going to cover you good there, pal.
Well, I appreciate it.
Is there one thing in barbecue that you haven't done that you want to do?
I mean, for a contest? Or
anything. A contest, if you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, I would love to win the Jack Daniel's Invitational. I've never done that. I mean, I would love to be able to win that contest. I've been reserve grand. I've been in the top. I've been the third place runner-up 2 or 3 times. And I just never have won it. I mean, yeah. The stars hadn't aligned. And I tell you, another contest I would love to do is the one down in Houston Livestock.
Oh yeah,
I just hear it's a blast. You know, all the setups they have down there, and the bars, and I think you almost have to. I heard people pass away and leave it in the will that they get their cook site down at Houston Livestock. People don't get those sites; don't come up available.
No, that's kind of like getting tickets to the Kentucky Derby or something. You know, they're not that easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, it's not easy to get in there. But I love to do those 2 contests. As far as in barbecue in general, one thing I'd like to do probably is secure for my kids coming behind me, being able to take whatever I've built or strive to build or thought I've built and push forward with it. You know, if it's nothing more than doing more restaurants or selling more rubs and sauces, I'd hate to think the day I pass that it all stopped with me, because I didn't start out thinking I was going to be able to do the things I've done, but it's here and I've got it, and I'd like to know that my kids are going to take it forward.
I don't know if anybody's going to beat you, though, Myron, when you're the mayor in your golf cart and your Crocs and your underwear. I mean, that's a pretty steep challenge to keep going there.
And plus, I am the official squirrel eliminator for the city of Unadilla from my golf cart. I got a 410. I let the windshield down on it, and I take care of business with it.
Oh, I love
that. I know that might offend some of the animal rights people, but I love animals. But these squirrels, one squirrel, can damage 50 to 150 pounds of pecans at $3 a pound.
That should be a bounty on the squirrels here.
Well, they are a bounty on them here in Dallas. Everybody brings me a tail, they get a $5 bonus.
There you go. Myron Mixon, it has been a pleasure and an honor, actually, sir, to talk to you here on Barbecue Nation. I hope you'll come back sometime and visit with us again.
I would love to.
I think you and I could cause some trouble if we got in the same county. That's the only thing.
I tell you what, I got room for you on my golf cart, and I got another 410 you can have you on.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here for the nation. So y'all stay good till next week for Oklahoma Clay and myself, Johnny Cash, Ghost Riders, the whole thing. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in Production Compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.